This episode was brought to you in collaboration with the Female Founders Initiative, introducing our new monthly series. The Female Founders Initiative supports and empowers female entrepreneurs all over Switzerland through a variety of events, workshops, and activities. They've also compiled a map of all the female-led Swiss startups, which you can check out by visiting female-founders.ch.
When I tell people that I work in software engineering, they're like, so you can code? Like, really? And so, I mean, today I can laugh about this, but when you're a bit younger and you might not be 100% sure yet what to do and you get these questions, you start to doubt yourself and so on.
Welcome to the Swisspreneur Show, a podcast about startup stories and learnings from experienced entrepreneurs. If you enjoy listening to our show, make sure to follow the podcast and leave a rating. And now, here's your host, Merle.
All right, hello. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Fabian. Super nice to have you here for today's episode. So I already know you a little bit, but let's say we are at an event and somebody comes up to you and asks you what you actually do. How would you answer in 10 seconds?
Hi, Merle. Thanks for having us. So we're very excited to be here. And so it's a very good question. It's actually not an easy question to answer, I'd say. But if someone would ask me and I would answer in, as my role in Girls in Tech, I would say that I have the honor to lead and manage the team of volunteers around the organization, Girls in Tech Switzerland, in my role as co-managing director. So in this role, I'm doing the strategy together with the exec board, and also I'm representing the organization, just like today, kind of sharing and spreading the word. And I'm also head of press, so responsible for the website, the newsletter, and our blog post series, where we highlight role models and so on. So that's what I would answer.
Cool. I am sure that was longer than 10 seconds, but that's okay because you have so many different roles. I'm sure that's fine. It's not even possible. Fabian, what about you?
So I'll try to keep it short. No, my role is actually a bit easier to explain, I guess. I'm the head of community at Girls in Tech, and my focus is on community building and, yeah, just providing useful content and services for our community online and offline.
Super cool. And now we have mentioned Girls in Tech as a name multiple times already. Can you briefly explain to our listeners what Girls in Tech actually is?
Do I have to stick to 10 seconds? Because that's
going to
be hard.
No, you can take much longer now.
Awesome, thanks. Now, I mean, I'm very excited about the organization, so it's hard to keep it short, but I'll try my best. So Girls in Tech is a global organization. I was founded in 2007 out of San Francisco, out of the Silicon Valley, with the need to bring more women into the tech space. And in the meantime, there's a lot of local chapters around the world, including Girls in Tech Switzerland. So we're a local chapter of Girls in Tech. We were founded in 2016 by Stephanie Barker and Priska Burkhardt, who are still part of our advisory board to this day. And yeah, our mission is really to attract and also retain women in the tech space and also create more diversity. We're trying to bring people together. We're trying to empower women and people from minorities in the tech space. And yeah, so that's our mission and a little bit about the story of Girls in Tech Switzerland.
Super cool, super interesting. And maybe going a little bit back, how did Girls in Tech actually start? And I mean, you already said a little bit about your roles, but maybe you can also tell us a bit more like how you shape Girls in Tech today, what your roles are in it.
Mm-hmm. So maybe I can start because I was there a little bit earlier than Fabian. So I joined the team about 3.5 years ago, and I was asked by my co-managing director, Corinne, after we met at a women's event. And so I was very drawn to join the organization because I'm very passionate about like being a woman in tech. I love being a woman in tech, but I also see that there's a lot of potential for change still in this industry, not just around gender equality, but diversity in general. And so I was fortunate to join Corinne and building up actually a new team. So we took over from the old board, and we were able to then create a whole new team. So that was also exciting to do kind of a hiring process for volunteers and bringing on new people to the team. And so over time, we've actually grown now to 20 volunteers in Zurich and Geneva, which is very exciting to have such a big team. And I think about a year or 1.5 years ago, Fabienne then joined us, and maybe I'll hand over to you.
Yeah. So it was actually quite a, by accident how I landed at Crossy Tech. So they actually reached out to my employer to ask if they want to collaborate. And I am a member of the internal diversity and inclusion group. So I was in a call with Tayshia and Lisa from Girls in Tech. And I was immediately so impressed by what they do and also by just how they do it, by their drive and passion for the topic. And I was like, yeah, I want to support that mission as well. I mean, because for me, I've been working in the tech industry for over 10 years now. And yeah, I have to figure out a lot of things myself, often being like the only woman in the room. And so what Girls in Tech does is really, I could relate a lot. And yeah, I feel like it's the network I wish I had back then when I started out. So I really wanted to give back to the community and yeah, support the cause.
And maybe we can also go a little bit back. So maybe tell us a little bit about your background personally, and then also what inspired you to join this project.
I can very much relate to what Fabienne just said about this feeling alone, or also the lack of role models or seeing a perspective for yourself. And I think for me personally, this started very early already as a child, when I decided at 12 years old that I wanted to go to high school or gymnasium here in Switzerland. And I was the first in my family to do that. And I was like, yeah, but you're like a girl. Why do you want to go studying? Why don't you just want to, you know, build a family and so on? And so already there, I felt a little bit alone and like a lack of support by the people around me. And this sort of continued on a little bit also into university. I decided to go to ETH for studying, which was a bit atypical for a girl. I studied engineering as well, where I was actually very lucky to have many women in my study program. It's a small program called Geomatics Engineering, but just like talking to people, it was always like, oh, what, you're an engineer, really? And now also as a software engineer, as my daily job, it's always like, so when I tell people that I work in software engineering, they're like, so you can code? Like, really? And so, I mean, today I can laugh about this, but when you're a bit younger and you might not be 100% sure yet what to do, and you get these questions, you start to doubt yourself and so on. And so I wanted to try to make sure that all the women that come after me, at least they have a place where they can go to find role models, find a community. And that was really the motivation for me personally to join an organization like Girls in Tech, to provide that space for young women and girls that want to create a career in tech.
Mm. And Fabienne, what's your background? I mean, you also mentioned you are a woman in tech. So what's your background?
So technically speaking, not a tech person by education. I have a degree in marketing and communications, and I joined the tech world from the business side. But even like in my current role in management, there are even less women. Like, we already have not a lot of women in tech in general, but then in management it's even fewer. And it's just every day, basically you're one of few or the only woman in the room, and it's, yeah, you just get the feeling you have to prove yourself a bit more, at least I do. And that also motivates me to kind of, be a role model for others, but also kind of, prove people, hey, women can do it too. Even if they're not, if they can code, it's cool. If they can't code, but still they can contribute to the tech industry and be a leader and do cool things.
Yeah. I love that motivation. That's so true and so important as well. And you already mentioned like what you do at Girls in Tech and also what value it has for you. What would you say makes Girls in Tech maybe different from other offers that are already in the market?
So I would say we have a really unique and distinctive community. It's also one of our main focus is the community building. And yeah, we have a lot of different women in tech organizations, but I feel like each of them have a bit a different focus and a unique culture and vibe to it. So I always recommend people who want to join a network, go check out a few of them just to find the one you feel comfortable with and where you feel it's your tribe. And I also love that even there are many different organizations, we often collaborate and do events together as we do with Female Founders. And I think our community is really one that's also a bit more, the events we do is a bit more informal and casual than others, I would say. We had, for example, a kickboxing event last year. Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah, we just try to actively create like opportunities for exchange and support. And that's probably also why we have a lot of career starters and changers at Girls in Tech, because it's a good way to meet new people and just get, yeah, casually meet new people too and yeah, talk to them. And yeah, it's a low entry bar, I'd say.
Super cool. So really like relatable and inspiring as well, I would say. Which brings me also to my next question. And also, as we talk a lot about role models, and also at the event that we did together, we talked about role models. What do you think is the importance of role models, especially for women or young girls in tech?
So I always say the standard phrase of what you cannot be, what you cannot see, right? So that's the purpose of role models, that it gives you an idea of where you could go in your career. And if all the people around you don't look like you, or they don't have any similarities with you, you feel like maybe there's no place for me here. And so if you have someone that maybe has gone through a similar career stage or career path like you, who looks like you, maybe has something in common with you, you can relate to that much better, right? And you can then, with a role model, also kind of, I don't think it's only about looking up to people, right? A role model doesn't necessarily have to be someone who's kind of further along. It can just be someone who maybe has figured something out that you haven't yet, and it can inspire you. And so I think in that sense, role models can really are really important for people to find their path, and also maybe seeing people where you're like, I really admire that person for what she or he did, but that's not what I want, right? It's also a way to figure out what you don't want. And so sharing each other's stories and exchanging and so on, this can be really helpful to find your own unique path eventually.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. I really like how you said this, like when, even especially when you're in an environment where you don't see someone like you and you just feel isolated and also a little bit alone, it gives you so much power if you know there is someone that you can relate to somehow. I think that's also super important. And what role models are there out there at the moment for women in tech, would you say?
I believe like everyone can actually be a role model. As Lisa said, you don't have to be a celebrity or super accomplished in life. And that's also something we try to achieve with what we do. So we really want relatable and approachable role models and just connect people who can meet and talk to each other. As we, for example, did at the International Women's Day, when at our joint event, we invited five panelists as role models from the tech industry. And it was so cool to just see how they interacted with the community, how they answered questions, but also just told the story. I think just the visibility and telling each other your story is really powerful. And some people tend to underestimate the impact they can make for others, even if they're not super senior or accomplished in their career. You can still be a role model for your surroundings.
Yeah, there was one panelist making a little bit of promotion for our past event, but I thought it really inspired me, actually. There was one panelist who said, I just finished my studies and I'm really young and I am up here. So honestly, everyone can be a role model that's sitting here in the audience as well. And I thought that was super inspiring. And also that was the inspiration for me to give this question back to you. What are your role models personally? Do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, everybody I work with that grows in tech is a role model to me. Like, we have such a kick-ass group of women that we work together. So Fabienne is definitely a role model for me and everybody else also from the team. I mean, that's why we have people on this team as well. So we're we're trying to find people that can serve as role models. So that for sure. And I also, I'm fortunate to work with a lot of great women at my current company. And I also, we have women in leadership that I really look up to. I see how they both made their way to a place where I'd like to be in the future. And I can exchange with them. They're very open to also share their experiences. And so for me, a role model is also someone who really dares to speak about her or his story in a very open and honest way, not trying to beautify it or trying to make it sound like it's all super easy, but really saying like, okay, look, I also haven't figured it all out, but I'm happy to share with you. And so for me, I'm more a person that I like to have role models kind of in close proximity, like people that are in my life. I'm not so much a person that looks up to celebrities, but it's just the way I am, right? So I'm not such a, like, I always get a little bit uncomfortable with people saying like my role model is some famous person, and you're like, you've never met them, you don't really know how they are, right?
Maybe they're actually really mean.
Exactly.
This episode was brought to you by Google Cloud, a partner that needs no introduction. What you might not have heard of, though, is that Google offers a Google for Startups cloud program where they give you access to startup experts, technical training, business support, and cover your Google Cloud costs up to $200,000 for 2 years, or even $350,000 if you're an AI startup. Scale your startup faster and smarter with Google Cloud. Head over to goo.gle/Swisspreneur.
What about you, Fabienne?
Yeah, I actually absolutely agree with what Lisa said. I don't have like celebrity role models. I also have like people in my personal network and life that I look up to. Definitely also Lisa and everyone at Girls in Tech. Even like some of them are like younger, but the, as Lisa said, age doesn't really matter, because that's even sometimes more impressive to me, seeing young women who are just so passionate and also authentic, and they just, yeah, speak up for what they want and for who they are, and they're not afraid of the backlash they might get, and just really challenging the status quo and, yeah, trying to make the world a better place.
Yeah, that's very, very well put. I also sometimes feel like the word role model also sometimes just like classify someone as a person that does this and that, but maybe it's just like something that they do that's inspirational to you, and that's something that you take in. My mother told me recently, she was on a walk with my nephew, and he just stopped in between the walk and he would lay down and look at the sky because he thought it was pretty. And when she told me, I was like, that's awesome. I need to, like, it really inspired me. It's like, I need to be more like my really small nephew, because he's just like, I'm just going to take the time now and observe something that I really enjoy looking at. And I'm like, that's amazing. I should do this more often. And then I was like, yeah, that's also something that's really inspiring. And maybe you don't even look for it because it's not a person that you like have on the forefront of your mind. And maybe also talking about small kids, when we look at role models for maybe for younger children, or generally when it comes to tech for younger children, what do you think has already been done in terms of diversity, also diversified role models, etc., in education? And what's something that still needs to be done, in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good question. Maybe I could start with what we believe would be needed in the in this area to actually attract more young women to enter into tech. So I think one important part of it is that we really need to empower young people, and especially girls, to take ownership for their career choices and not let themselves be guided too much by stereotypes or even their surroundings. So I think that's something really important. I think both teachers, but also parents and any other people in children's lives, right? Like grandparents or whoever this can be, they can have a big impact on that. And I think the role models are also important in the sense of that we need to show that the tech world is diverse, that there are women in the tech world. This is important because the industry definitely has an image of kind of, I don't want to say it, but it's like if you think of tech from like the perspective of TV or media, we're often portraying these hackers in like, I don't know, in their cellars, sitting in front of a computer coding all day. And they're typically men, right? And so this is what children grow up with these images of that's the tech industry. Or if you think of Silicon Valley and all the CEOs of big tech companies, they're all white men. And so this is something that we can really have an impact as well on young people. And then teachers and parents need to be aware of their role of multipliers, right? So they have an even bigger impact on young children. And I think from the educational system, what is really needed, I think that's also where a lot of work is done, is exposure to technology early on, like from a very early age, that children get exposed to computers and technology, to programming, whatever it is. Doesn't even have to be like coding. It could be hardware or putting together some little robots, right? So they are not afraid to enter into the tech world and they feel comfortable in this world. And so I think there a lot is being done. And then the interesting part is actually that around 12 to 15, we know that young women, they start to become aware of the stereotypes. And that's the crucial age, because until this age, if they have enough exposure and enough support, they'll be interested in tech. They will follow down this path. And then between 12 to 15, they start to feel peer pressure, like no other girl is going in this direction, like no other girl in my surroundings is interested in math, and also with parents and teachers. So that's the crucial age where parents and teachers then become very important in empowering them. And I think, yeah, that's where we really have to educate the people actually around, like adults in children's lives.
And when you say that 12 to 15 is the crucial age to really also push them and support them, how can parents do that? Or how can maybe friends or older family members do that?
So I think a lot has to do with using the right words. So when a child says, for example, you know, I'm thinking about doing this or that, that you're not trying to frame it from like the conservative gender roles. So I just recently got a very, very nice email from a 16-year-old girl who read an article with an interview with me. And she told me that she wants to become a computer scientist. And she has like all these questions around where people were like, are you sure? Isn't that something for boys? And I think that's exactly the things that we should avoid, right? That young women hear these questions like, are you sure you want to become an engineer? That sounds like a boy's world. And if we phrase it like that, if we frame it like that, then we'll really make the children doubt that this is a place for them. And if we say, if a young woman comes and says, like, I think I want to become an engineer, do you think that's a good idea? And you as an adult, you're like, if you're interested in that, you can certainly do that. Like, you have my full support. Whatever you want to do, you can do it, right? And that's the way that we need to talk to children about career choices. And that's not just about tech, right? It's exactly the same. If a young boy comes and says, I want to become a teacher or something like that, which is also typically kind of more women going into this field, you should be as empowering as you would empower young girls to become an engineer, just so that we are very aware of the impact that we have with our words when we talk to children.
Yeah, definitely. And also talking about this, like support, how can we even further support maybe women that want to do a career change into tech or that want to found or already founders? Do you have any ideas or know of any communities, maybe besides the two of ours, that do such thing, that support women in this area?
For me, the most important thing is having a network and a community that empowers you and also connects you with like-minded people where you can just share your ideas and find inspiration and support and also learn new things and just get input from other people who might have done similar stuff or on a similar journey as you. And yeah, so look for a network that you like, that you can relate to. And if you want to find the female tech community, there's also a list on the TechFace website, which I can recommend. And a second tip is also finding a mentor. Mentorship is really crucial for any career, but especially I think for women, to have allies, to have people who can help you through and give you guidance where you need it. So there are also several mentorship programs for that. Highly
and
recommend.
I will definitely also link the TechFace website into the show notes if you want to check that out. And now moving to the future, so to say, what's planned for the future of girls in tech? What can we look out for?
It's definitely going to be exciting. So we want to keep growing our community, especially also in the French and Italian part of Switzerland. We're currently in Zurich and Geneva, but we really want to be everywhere. And for me, I really want to just, come out with new services for the community. We recently launched a LinkedIn group for the community where we have a monthly topic and also a community expert who talks about this topic. So I join it and connect with our members. That's really a good place also to start. And we're currently also working on a GitHub repository as a resource library. So we want to have a collection of research about diversity and tech with speakers and role models, and also just some recommendations from podcasts, books, and so on, where our members can go and find what they're looking for. And another thing that we're currently planning is the hackathon. So we did our very first hackathon last year in Zurich, and we're currently planning another one this year in Geneva. So stay tuned for that. And what else? So topic-wise, as Lisa said, like, reaching girls is really crucial. So that's also one of our focuses we want to have, to not just address IT professionals and like grown-up women, but also trying to increase the diversity for the next generation and reach girls. And another topic we're really trying to build on is allyship, because I believe like we can't just do this by ourselves, the women. We need men and everyone else to also join this mission, and it's good and really important to have allies from other genders who also support us and work together.
Super cool. Sounds really exciting. What's coming? It sounds really nice. I'm definitely gonna check it out and stay up to date with what you have planned. And before we say goodbye to you, we have three things that we always ask our guests on this episode. And one is, what are three key takeaways that you really would like to listeners to remember from today's episode?
Our first takeaway is that everybody can be a role model. And we really want to encourage, especially women in tech, to share their stories. If you want to share your story, you can share it through Girls in Tech. We're very happy to support people in this area. So that would be the first takeaway.
Second, I would say, do not underestimate the value of community and network.
And then the last one is around stereotypes and biases. We all have them. And I think especially when we talk to young people, be aware of your own stereotypes, your own biases, and just being careful with your messaging, with your communication. Tech jobs are not just for boys. They're for everybody. And so, just being mindful of that.
Really cool. And do you have any resources, any books or podcasts or things that our listeners should definitely check out?
Yeah, so I'm a big podcast fan. So I'm listening to a lot of podcasts, and I just wanted to give a shout out to two tech podcasts. So one is from TechFace, which is run by Priska, our co-founder, and she's also part of our advisory board. And so she is hosting a TechFace podcast where she interviews inspiring women in tech. So if you want to get some more role models onto your into your family, that's the best podcast. And the other one is called Female Tech Talk. It's actually a German podcast of two ladies in Berlin that are studying computer science. And they have just such a refreshing view onto some tech topics that I can highly recommend that as well. And then from the book side, we also wanted to just mention three books. So one is from Iris Bonnet, who's actually a Swiss, originally from Switzerland, but now lives in the US, that is called What Works, Gender Equality by Design. This is a very good book for everybody who's interested to implement change around gender equality. Has some really good ideas based on research that she has done. And the second one is about stereotypes. It's called Whistling Vivaldi from Claude M. Steele. And so this one talks about stereotype threat and how people that are in an environment where they're kind of exposed to stereotype threat, they're anxious to confirm certain stereotypes. For example, girls or women that are not good at math, but studying mathematics, how much this has an impact on your health and just psychologically. So very interesting book for everybody to read on stereotypes.
Yeah, and one book to add who's more like a generic perspective on why diversity is important is Rebel Ideas from Matthew Seid. It discusses like why cognitive diversity is crucial, especially for problem solving, especially for tackling complex problems like climate change. And it gives real life examples on how, like why a lack of diversity kind of was the reason certain things failed or happened.
Super interesting. I have this app called Goodreads. And since I started this podcast, I have so many books on there that I want to read because I get so many amazing tips. So thank you so much. I will definitely put those in the show notes as well. And before I then really let you go, can you just briefly tell us where can we find you? Where can we find Girls in Tech on the internet or on social media?
Yeah, both. So the good place to find Girls in Tech is on our website. It's switzerland.girlsintech.org. You can also sign up for our newsletter there and become a member. We're also on Instagram and we have a LinkedIn page and, as I mentioned, a LinkedIn community group. So check it out. And yeah, you can find me also on Instagram and LinkedIn if you want to join. Yeah. And what else? That's it.
Yeah. Join us, please. We're very open for new members. Always looking for new inputs. So yeah.
And also run a lot of really cool and interesting events if you want to get first exposure to this community. And with that, Lisa and Fabian, thank you so, so much. It was really interesting to hear all your insights and also experience and expertise in this field. Really cool to have you. And thank you so much for being on this episode.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, you can support us by rating our show on Apple Podcasts. This way, we can reach an ever-growing number of aspiring entrepreneurs.